This is Speaking of Events, the podcast for event industry leaders. We bring together innovators, strategic rock stars, and visionary creatives to talk all about events, industry trends, and anything in between. And speaking of events, here is your host, Carrie Garbus.
About 5 years ago, I was really into CrossFit. I was doing the daily workouts. They call them WODs, the workout of the day. I was doing challenges. I'm eating paleo. I'm heavy lifting. I am in it to win it, and I'm doing all the things. And I started to get a little bored mentally. And my muscles were getting a little repetitive strain. I was lifting correctly. I had been taught well. I had really good technique. It was just doing the same things over and over and over again. And my body really started to tell me it was time to do something different, something else. So I tried a couple different things to see what felt best. And I ended up at another locally owned gym that was more equal cardio, lifting, and stretching. Apparently my muscles really needed to stretch out after doing some of the little bit of bulking, not that I ever got bulky, just got bulking up, if you will. So sometimes it was a good lesson to me, because I realized that sometimes doing the same old thing, no matter how healthy it is, that you can benefit really from changing it up, listening to what you need, to what your body needs, and changing it up can make everything else shift and feel a little better. And I share that with you because my guest that I'm honored to have on today knows something a little bit about health, wellness, as well as the importance of implementing change, and especially perhaps listening to ourselves and what's needed to change things up and better things in this industry. So it is my honor to welcome today's guest on Speaking of Events, my fabulous guest, Andrew Roby. He is the corporate event planner at Andrew Roby Events. Welcome, Andrew, to Speaking of Events.
Thank you so much, Carrie, for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. And I think that, you know, wellness and, you know, taking care of your body, even making the necessary changes to adapt to it and stretching a little bit more figuratively is definitely a good thing for all of us, for sure.
Yes, for sure. Absolutely. What is your workout of choice? What do you do? What are you doing these days?
So these days I actually am increasing more cardio and increasing more core exercises because I know that the holidays are coming and I'm going to be eating a lot. So physically that's what I'm doing for real, three times a week.
Seriously. Andrew, my whole life is getting ready for the next eating thing. I mean, that is the motivation. I do it as I'm often saying, I'm here for vanity and sanity. Those are the
I like that.
Thank yes. you again for jumping in and speaking to me on Speaking of Events. And I'd like to ask you, as I do with all my guests, is what is the one thing you wished more people knew about events?
Very good question. I really wish, and I think we're starting to see that now, but not as much, but I really wish people would see events for the life-changing experiences that they really are, right? I think from a emotional, psychological standpoint, many people forgot, you know, that this has been around for forever, you know, and that events, especially motivational events, you know, I think about Oprah and her creating, you know, events and spaces to really change people. But I think that that has always been the case. But because we've moved through the pandemic the way that we have, people are seeing how much more those connections mean to them and how transformational events actually are and have always been. But it's slowly, you know, being recognized. And I wish more people would take note of that and intentionally plan events around that particular topic. So that's what I will hope for.
I too hope for that. Absolutely. Absolutely. We touched on this in our prep call.
Yep.
And I wanted to and take this conversation in a different direction than I have before on this podcast. Yep. And wanted to really, in the perfect words of a colleague of mine, lift you up in this moment.
Okay.
That because this is the 30th episode of Speaking of Events. You are my first male guest of color.
Okay.
And to me, it was pronounced to me in that I wanted to take a second and ask you, why is that? Why, what does that say about the industry that it's taken a significant amount of time, in my opinion, to bring a Black leader in this industry to have a voice in this conversation? Do you have any thoughts?
I think it's an interesting conversation or series of conversations, levels of conversations to actually have amongst our peers for so many different reasons. And I was actually on a conference call yesterday with my other council members for the National Events Council. And we actually were talking about the road ahead and what that looks like and how should we navigate through that or set our own paths for that with other organizations. And we've come to realize that, one, there's still many people that are having their firsts, right? You know, first Black woman to do this, first Black male to do this, first Hispanic to do that. And those are really amazing, remarkable, and they need to continue on, right? Because we have to normalize that, right? And not make it be such of a shock that, you know, that is happening. But for me, I would rather it be your 30th, where you're now having a male of color versus it be your 3000th episode and you're just now having, you know what I mean, a male of color. So I think that the conversation has to be more on this side of the fence, where it is, hey, I'm beginning and I'm starting this process, but you're still making strides to ensure equity and quality and a number of other things that really says to your audience, hey, there's voices all over. There's voices that have different backgrounds. There's voices that look like different people that are all relevant, should all be heard. And I just wish more people actually were in your position now versus where they are, where it's like, I've done this for however many years and you're just now implementing such measures into whatever effort that you are. There's organizations, there's associations that, you know, started off to say, hey, look, we need to have, you know, this inclusivity, we need to have this equality and made measures. But now that I guess we're back to being busy and having so many, you know, events, is not as prominent and not as at the forefront as it was to ensure people who look like me, Hispanics and you know, other people of color had a voice and had the platform to actually use their voice. So one, bravo to you, but two, thanks for actually having this conversation and ensuring your audience understands that it's not just a single person, you know, that you have on your show or that you integrate into your event or that you bring on as an employee to your company. It's an ongoing thing where your goal is to really just have a diverse set of people, because with diversity, it's your thought process, it's how you handle things, it's what the makeup of your company is. There's so many advantages to it, right? So I think that this is a great opportunity for everybody to really take advantage of it.
Yes, and giving everybody a voice, a seat at the table, an opportunity to speak. So thank you very much for that.
Yeah, you're welcome.
And you're right. It is a busy time. It is also the time to keep this at the forefront. Yep. This is if we don't keep it at the forefront, it's not going to move forward. And all of a sudden we're going to look back and say, remember that thing that was popular? And that it shouldn't be a thing that is popular. It is humans, it is voices, it is inclusion. And so throwing it back to you, what are the additional opportunities that we have in this industry in terms of equity and inclusion? I think that I'm going to pass it to you, then I'll talk about what I think later.
Okay. Well, I think we have to go beyond just having the conversations, honestly. I think as event professionals in this industry, we're very smart. We have been able to make so much out of nothing. So I don't think that any of us are ignorant to say that we don't know. I would be much more appreciative of someone who's saying that they don't know how to implement versus, you know, people who are saying, okay, I'm still having the conversation. I'm still taking stock of my own, you know, decisions and all that. I think that that's something that you do personally all the time, right? But when it comes to moving beyond the conversation, we then begin to deal with inclusion and we begin to deal with equity, because those are ways that you actually talk the talk, do the walk, right? And that's where we're actually going out, finding people who don't look like us to actually participate in the opportunities that we're given, right? So I'll use, you know, the supplier diversity program that so many companies have, but when you look at it over the last 2 years, I would say about 25%, and the starting figure is low anyway, but 25% additional companies have begun to actually evaluate their diversity programs because of the fact that they're realizing that, one, you're always using the same people that you've used before, or you didn't have the right people in place to actually evaluate who was actually being hired and receiving dollars from your company to provide a product or service, right? So that is part of the inclusion and the equity aspect, because now you have organizations that are actually reviewing the systems that have always held people back and saying, okay, look, this is problematic, let's fix this, or let's get actually hired people in here to run our diversity, you know, program or ERGs, which is just literally volunteers. And I don't think when you have something that deals with diversity, equity, and inclusion, it should be a volunteer thing within any organization. Because again, paying someone to do the work is much more difficult than it is to say, hey, do you want to take the time out to do this? Because there's no accountability, you know, for right. that. But I think that when we begin to move past just talking about it and actually integrating it and dealing with people who don't look like us and making sure the playing field is as leveled as possible, then we begin to actually see systemic change in all the things that we've been seeing prior to the pandemic, which merely shined a light on what has been always going on. But I think that as we continue to get busy and we begin, you know, to do more in-person events and all these kinds of things, that it's easy for us to settle back down into what the past looked like. And I think that because it's common, it's not as easy to say, okay, oh, all of that is over with. We've understood, we've had the conversations, we sat through panels, we've been to events and they've talked about this, now we're all good. I think that there's still a lot of work that has to be done, but it's gonna take a conscious effort for us to say, okay, let's move beyond talking about it and actually going within our networks and saying, who are the people that I need to work with? Who are the people I need to introduce myself to? Who are the people I need to have on my vendor list and why that makes sense? Or who can I use as a coach, as a mentor to educate me, who I can actually hire as a DEI professional to come into my organization and do the proper training so that way we don't have unconscious biases and that we don't have all these other things that we recognize but don't have the tools or the vocabulary to actually reduce the harm that we're, you know, putting out into our industry. So all those things are ways to, you know, fight back against it. It's just us taking the conscious effort to actually move forward, you know, outside of the conversations.
Absolutely. And it's not just the big organizations. It is the smaller, nimble agencies. It right. is the, it's everybody needs, every, I think everybody needs this education. Everybody needs an implementation strategy, is essentially that great, we have Chuck, we had the conversation, and now we do.
Right. Yeah. And that's the hard part. That is the hard part.
That is the necessary part. That is the, in my opinion, the human part. Mm-hmm. And you have to be present. Just be present and with anything.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
What came out of the pandemic for, and I'm not saying we're out of the pandemic. There's a lot, we could have a side conversation about that. anything stand out to you in terms of lessons, moments, things of learning, anything that you're taking with you moving forward or perhaps gleefully leaving behind?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's work-life balance. I think that no matter what I have done or opportunities I've put myself into, conversations I've had with people, it has always, for some reason, come back to how am I doing? And what am I doing to protect myself and to look after myself? Mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, it just always comes back to that. And what I've learned and implemented with my team is that we do not have to work ourselves to death. We, for this industry, for clients, for anyone, because without us, and if we're degraded to a point where we're only able to give 50% of ourselves, when our clients are expecting 100%, then we don't need to be in business because we can't look after ourselves first. So how can we look after an event or our client? And so the wellness aspect of it and the mental health aspect of it has really been a huge lesson for me. Like, I remember when we started with the pandemic and I was sitting at my dining room table working more hours at my table than I was prior to the pandemic in the office. It was insane. And I was like, I had to break those habits. I had to break habits that became habits in less than, 90 days, right?
Right. And
I was like, what is this? And so being able to learn how to say no to opportunities so that way you can say yes to yourself and yes to other things that mean a lot. Events and my clients, they're great. But on a personal level, after their event is gone, they're not going to really come to me and be like, hey, how's it going? You know, on the personal side, that's just not how it is. I wish it was. Sometimes it is. It's not always the case. But just being able to consider what really means the most to me and make space for that, and not working myself all the time throughout the week over the weekends, and creating a system to support that, because of course it's easy to say, hey, I'm going to do less work, but then figuring out how income is going to supplement that and really, make sure that you're not depriving salaries and your profit for that is the systems that we had to put in place to actually change how to actually navigate with that. But that was a learning process as well. But ultimately, I believe that has been the best thing that has happened to me and our company coming out of this pandemic, honestly. And I know other people may have other things, but I am enjoying not being busy all the time. I'm enjoying not having a completely full calendar like we used to. And it's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
That breathing room is critical. And yeah. Thank you for that reminder. As I've got to lighten it up. It's a little packed.
Yeah.
Are there any personal best practices that you do for your self-care and your wellness overall?
Yeah. We talked about, exercising. So that definitely is part of it. But I think that therapy has been absolutely amazing. And also just having like a really cool group of people that you can talk to I think having group discussions and having those different, you know, levels of interaction and engagement with them, and of course their thought processes, helps to actually make you think differently and make you challenge your thought process. So I think that those things have been really great. Eating healthy has been really great. And just like for me, I love to travel. So getting back to traveling and getting back to like things that I miss so much has really, I guess, caused me to center myself and to really just enjoy life. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. Honestly, it feels so good.
That's good. Oh, I can feel it. I can feel it, Andrew. How did you get here? Because you grew up in Miami, you're in Germany, now you're back in DC. I probably skipped a few things in between there. So can you give us a little bit of history?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm born and raised in Miami, and I left Miami I joined the military, then the army in 2001, January 11th, 2001, you know, now that we just celebrated September 11th, and 2001, and it's been so long since that has happened, but I moved to Germany, you know, in the army, and I lived there for 3.5 years, and, you know, going there, then I changed over to my duty station to DC, and, you know, between all of that and deployments back and forth, I was like, you know what, it's time for me to settle somewhere, because I was literally in, once the stop movement had passed, which allowed us to go to another duty station, I was like, do I really want to go to another duty station and continue this cycle of one, uncertainty as far as, you know, deployments and where I would finally live and making those meaningful connections with friends and everything else. I just chose to get out of the army, and for a number of reasons, mainly, you know, mental stability and, you know, emotional stability in a place, and started literally on my transition out of the army, started volunteering for events, doing events like the Coca-Cola Classic. We did fashion shows, we did fundraisers, a lot of community driven events to help service members really get acclimated to the community, because, you know, for many people who are in the military, once you leave home, you're by yourself. You know, you don't know anyone. Of course, you get to know people, but that can be a challenge based off of where people are. And so I felt like that was a good fit. You know, I was having fun. It challenged me in a different way than being in the army. And it was weird because in the army, I was teaching people about nuclear, biological, and chemical weapons and how to protect themselves from these things on the battlefield. Whoa. And they're like, it was crazy. but it was a lot of fun, you know, learning that in the army. And so doing events was a different challenge. In 2005, you know, after, you know, getting out and going to school to get, you know, my degree in business management, I literally started interning and learning how to be in this business. And literally it's just propelled me opportunity after opportunity to get to where I'm at right now. So it's been a lot of ups and downs. It's been a lot of learning, but I'm happy for where I am now.
What's more terrifying, psychological warfare or bridezillas?
I think it's always going to be the psychological side, like the chemical warfare. Oh, because that's a lot. I feel like what many people say, well, bridezillas is life or death too. But I think, you know, not knowing if you're going to survive a chemical attack is more, you know, creepy to me than bridezillas. And we're able to handle bridezillas to a certain extent, but we can still go home after that. Yes. So I'm okay with
you. You are absolutely right. I did not mean to make light of that. That is true. I had just had a conversation with somebody a couple episodes ago who said I didn't want to go into weddings because I'm terrified of bridezillas.
They can be a lot. Thankfully, we have not had many. But for the ones that we've had, mercy. I don't wish it on anyone.
Well, thank you for that. What a fascinating journey to get here. Yeah. And are you ready to switch gears one more time?
Sure.
And go into our lightning express round?
Oh, goodness. Okay, let's okay. go.
This is not scary compared to what you've done before, okay. So don't worry. This is 45 seconds on the clock. I'm going to ask you 7 questions. Here we go.
Okay.
What is your favorite moment in the event process?
The end result. As like the end result, it always is. Yes.
Yes. Whom do you consider your mentor?
I have so many people. Like, I feel like Andre Wells is great. Daryl Moore is great. Oh my God, like it's so many people. David Adler is amazing. Like, I feel like I have so many people who I count on. So yeah.
Yes, wonderful. What is your favorite place to travel? You love to travel.
Oh, Barcelona.
Favorite. Whoa. Yes. I have not been there, so very exciting, wonderful. And what do you do? We talked about it, but what do you do every day to stay healthy and sane?
Start today off, every day off, moments of meditation, centering myself, wellness, just, that's my thing.
Wonderful. Yeah. If you weren't talking to me right now, what would you be doing?
I would probably be taking a nap.
That is the first time anybody's ever said that. I love it. I want to take a nap too. That is amazing.
Yes.
And what's your favorite mood changing song? What do you listen to get in a different mood? That's a tough one.
Wow. I honestly just say, hey Siri. Well, she's probably going to say, say, hey Siri, play music. And she knows what to play. And I'm just instantly I'm there. So I don't know what it is. It could be everything. Who knows?
Wonderful. All right. And then finally, what is the best way to take care of an event professional?
I would say ask them how you can help. I think that a lot of us feel like we can do it all on our own, and just be that support system. Just see what you can do to help them out. You never know.
I think congratulations. You have made it through the Lightning Express round. Woo-hoo. First snap answer on the board. I'm excited. Absolutely. Ask them what they can do to help. I think this conversation, I believe, has already helped so many people. So thank you. Thank you for jumping into some new places for me and for the podcast as a whole. And it's so excited about this episode and so honored you're here. So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And if people would like to connect with you, where can they find you, Andrew Roby?
Yeah, I think we're all on social under Andrew Roby Events. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. We're definitely on TikTok. So yeah, everything.
We will find you.
Yeah, Andrew Roby Events. Look us up.
Yep, and we'll post it in the show notes as well. Yep. Absolutely. Thank you. Thank you again. I will release you to nap momentarily. Thank you to our listeners. What a bundle of amazing stuff we got in this episode. So thank you. And remember that if you like events or if you love events, even if you loathe events, and who loathes events, tell someone about this podcast. Thank you again to my phenomenal guest, Andrew Roby. And remember to whatever you are speaking about, remember to be speaking of events.
Speaking of Events is sponsored by Ovation, the gold standard for professional presence and speaker development training, helping everyone get prepared, get confident, and get ovationed.